good to be here at God's house this morning. Glad all of you have joined us. We appreciate our visitors being here with us. We'll be in Luke chapter number 1 when we get to the Word of God. It is great to see all of you here. We've had a busy month already here at Lock Haven Baptist Church. Appreciate the choir going out to the funeral home and singing last week. Their candlelight service, what a blessing that was. Appreciate the group went to ice skating last night, and we're glad that all of our visitors here today. We have Brother Harmon and his family visited from North Carolina or South Carolina. North Carolina. Something wrong with that, North Carolina. Now, I'm glad they're here. Their friend, Brother Tony, they preach for one another, and Brother Tony recommended me visit our church on vacation. We appreciate them here. Ethan and his family's here. Appreciate them coming. They went skating with us last night and had a good time. We have a lady visiting from Ohio, came to get out of the cold. Glad she's here with us as well. And we have Samara's grandmother. Hey. Good morning, Miss Samara's grandmother. Y'all pray for Samara's grandmother's sister, Marcia Short. She is had a couple of doctor's appointments this past week, and they found some lumps. They're going to do a biopsy, and it's almost most certain that it's probable cancer. So be in prayer for Marcia Short. If you would, that would be a blessing there. And we have a couple here visiting from around here, visiting with us. Glad they're here, and Shelby's here with us. Let's see Shelby. And if I missed any of you, I'm sorry. Come back tonight and I'll recognize you. There, I'm glad our folks are here as well. I'm glad all of you here. What a wonderful, wonderful time of the season we have. A lot going on. Don't be mindful to be praying about our offering for the Scripture Press. We finished printing the Creel. We have the cross sitting back here. Brother Sam, Mom, today. Glad you're here. They come from Pennsylvania down to see me. It had nothing to do with grandbabies. I'll see Pastor. I'm glad they're here. And I know they're glad to see the grandbabies. Sam's another story, but the grandbabies. And we finished up that Creel, printing that Creel testament last week. And we already got two orders, one order for 500 and another order, I'm not sure, on those testaments. So since we hadn't got them bound yet, God sent an order. So be in prayer about the offering in January to buy paper. The Lord's really blessed. The last couple of 3 years, our offerings have increased, and we've been able to buy quite a bit of paper. We printed 25,000 of those 100,000 Chinese Johnny Romans as well. 10,000 of those are already on the ground where they needed to go. We've got 15 more thousand to box up and crate up and get the paid to them. So it's busy. It's good busy. People need the Word of God. And we have the opportunity to print it right here. And so be in prayer about that offering in January. What God would have you do as far as buying paper so we can print some more, get it out, and get it in the hand of folks who need the Scriptures. There, my daughter Bentley told me a joke, and I thought it was funny. I'll try to tell it. Sometimes I can't get these things out, so if they don't come out right, so you don't hurt my feelings, just laugh anyway. Just laugh at my lack of capability of telling a joke. She told me about some Bond women that went out to get them a Christmas tree. They drove out to the side of the woods and got out of the vehicle and started going up into the woods, had their axe with them and saw, and they began to go all around the mountains. It started snowing and sleet. They fell, slipped down the cliff. After about 7 hours of wandering around in the forest, the one of them said, "I tell you what, I don't care the next tree we come to, if it's decorated or not, we're cutting that sucker down." Appreciate that. That's how we get sometimes. We go out there thinking we're going to get it ready-made. We don't get sinners ready-made. We got to reach them with the gospel.
Amen.
I appreciate appreciate y'all coming out this week and went out visiting with us this week and reaching out to our community and getting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ out to our community that we might be able to see folks saved and added to God's family, discipled, baptized, joined our church, and we continue to grow, reach more. It's all about people. We're not in this here for self, for show. We're here to reach people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God might in turn use them to do something great for Him. And I tell you, God wants to use folks. We just got to be willing to yield ourselves to be used of God. Just yield ourselves. We started a series last week in the book of Luke. We started Luke chapter number 1, and we're going to go verse by verse all the way through the book of Luke. We probably will finish up somewhere around mid-spring or so when we get done with Luke. If the Lord tarries that long, He may not. We might just finish this portion of Scripture and God come back tonight. And if He does come back today, I hope you know His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the personal Lord and Savior. Luke chapter number 1, we're going to begin today in verse 26 where we left off. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and I told some of you that we was going to, told all of you we have a memory verse for this next week or two. Luke chapter 1, verse 32 is the memory verse. And so when we get down there to Luke chapter 1, verse 32, let's all read it together. Luke chapter 1, verse 32, we'll read that together, and then I'll keep on reading a little bit after that. Luke chapter number 1, verse 26, the Bible says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? How can this be, seeing I know not a man? So I want to read that again there. Verse 35. And the angel answered, said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste in the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Verse 43, And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of the salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Continue our studies throughout the book of Luke. We're going to go verse by verse, chapter by chapter. So I'd encourage you to not miss, because if you miss, then you might get a little behind and not be able to follow along real well where we're at. And I'm not going to be able to go back to chapter 1 and catch you back up every time there. So I'd encourage you to come back. I don't do normally series like this, especially a book as large as the book of Luke. On a Sunday morning, we have done small books on the Sunday morning, like Ephesians or Galatians, but I just felt this where the Lord would have us to be. And I tell you, we're in a desperate state of need for the Word of God. We need God's Word more so than we need air itself, than we need food itself. And so as we go through this and we study the Word of God, dear friend, I would encourage you to do some reading on your own, some study on your own, and get to the point, the meat of the matter on your own, because I will not be able to cover every verse as much as I'd like there as we go. But you can do it on your own and be a help to you, be a help to me, that you are aware of where we're at in the Scripture. So therefore, when you come into the house of God, you'll be in tune with what's going on. You'll be ready to, you'll be able to work and pay attention. You'll be able to have your mind focused, because you come here to get something from the Word of God. So you work at it and you get something from it. So you say, I can't do that. Well, then that makes verse 37 a lie, for with God nothing shall be impossible. You have to have a desire to do it, dear friend. That's where it matters. And God's put that desire in you when you got saved. He put the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us. The Holy Ghost gives us an unction from on high, that great anointing, that we might be able to have an understanding of the Scriptures. Now, the birth of Jesus is foretold throughout this portion of Scripture where we're at. But you can go back to the book of Genesis, if you would. Hold your place there, because we're coming right back in Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3, you'll find there in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15. The Bible says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heels. This is a portion of Scripture that's foretelling about the birth of Christ. If you would, go to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. Book of Isaiah, chapter number 7, verse number 14. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. The Bible says there, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And then over in Micah chapter number 5, it talks about the actual city where he would be born. It tells us a lot of information through there. And then we get here to Luke, where we're reading there in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26 on. It begins to bring out that telling about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a little unusual. Now, I've had 8 children born to my family. My wife and I have 8 kids. There's never been a time that I made a birth announcement until after the child was born. I didn't call grandma, I didn't call grandpa, I didn't call the aunts and uncles, I didn't call the church members, say, hey, we're going to have another baby born in about 6 or 7 weeks, so I'm going to make that announcement now. But here, we've had from Genesis 3 all the way up to this point, we've had this birth announcement made, and I'll tell you, it's quite a different birth announcement. It's talking about Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Like it says in Luke number 19, verse 10, he's coming to seek and to save that which is lost. So this birth announcement, dear friend, is just quite a bit different. It tells about the one that would be coming to bring forth salvation unto all men. Not just some here in America, not just some here in Florida, I just saw him down here on the south side of Orange County. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this world to seek and to save sinners of all women, boys, and girls. You don't just come, wake up one day and say, well, you're marked to go to hell. No, dear friend. All of us without Christ will spend eternity in hell. But for whosoever will shall come to this announcement, this Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, has opportunity to miss this place called hell. A lot of folks out there believe that there are some chosen ones that's going to go to heaven. There are some that ain't going to go to heaven. By their, just because what amazes me, those that always believe that, dear friend, they, none of their children headed to heaven. None of their aunts and uncles headed to heaven. It's always the one on the other side of the street, the one down yonder, the one that they don't know. But I tell you, dear friend, without Christ, all shall spend eternity in heaven. But because a man will come to the knowledge of a need for a Savior, and what a Savior we have. Realizing that we've all sinned before God. There's none righteous, no, not one. We're in a desperate situation, dear friend. We are. For the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're kind of like the little boy who wanted a bicycle. I mean, he needed that bicycle. He thought he had to have that bicycle. The only problem was he was a little brat child. I mean, he was always bothering somebody, getting in trouble, causing mom and dad problems. And he came up in the house one day and demanded, Mom, I want this bicycle. I got to have this bicycle. He was desperate for this bicycle. I want this bicycle. And his mom realized, hey, son, you ain't worthy of this bicycle quite yet. Why don't you go upstairs and think about what you're asking and write the Lord Jesus Christ himself a letter, and you ask him to help you get this bicycle. So the boy walked up the stairs, got on his bed, got his paper out, began to think about it, and he started to write a letter. And he said, Dear Jesus, I've been a good boy this year and would appreciate a new bicycle. Your friend, little Johnny. So he ripped up the letter and decided to throw that away because he realized he hadn't been a good little boy. He started over. Dear Jesus, I've been an okay boy this year and I want a new bicycle. Yours truly, little Johnny. Well, little Johnny knew that that wasn't totally honest either. He tore that one up and began to write again. Dear Jesus, I've thought about being a good boy this year. Can I have a new bicycle? Signed, Little Johnny. Well, Little Johnny looked deep down into his heart. And that's exactly what his mom wanted to do. And he started pondering this thing. He tore that letter up. He started walking down the road. He started going here, going yonder, pondering about this here thought in his heart. How desperate he was. Come up on a Catholic church. He walked inside that Catholic church and nobody was around. Nobody was in there. Little Johnny got down on his knees and was fixing to pray to God. Talk to God. But he had never did that before. Never had no idea even how to talk to God. So he got frustrated. He got up and he began to look around and he saw all these statues. He saw one that said was St. Peter. He grabbed St. Peter and run home. Wrote him another letter. God, I've captured St. Peter. And if you don't give me that bicycle, I'm going to keep it. That's how we work with God a lot of times. We're desperate. That's what you know we do. Try to work out. We write a little letter. We know we're bad. We know we sin before God. We know that we've transgressed God's law. We know that we've been disobedient in some way, shape, form, or fashion and in breaking God's commandments. See, it wasn't a crackhead there in the Garden of Eden that broke God's law. It was a man that, I believe, loved God, a man that had seen God face to face. It was simple disobedience that caused mankind to fall in, dear friend, into this desperate need for a Savior. That's the announcement for that. We're in desperate need, dear friend. We need Jesus. Verse number 26, you find here this little, this angel Gabriel. Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, That's what's that spouse means. That's like an engagement. It's a little bit more stronger than what we call an engagement, you see, because with the Jewish beliefs and the Jewish pattern of this engagement, this espousal, what happened? You'd have the two parties come together. They'd work out everything. The one that was representing the bride, the groom, would talk to the one representing the bride, and they would work it out, and they would exchange dowry, and then it would become, it was as solid as a marriage, dear friend, except in one aspect. They had lock, stock, and barrel of a time in the future that whenever the father said to the groom, go get your bride, it was going to take place. But they could not enjoy the marital institute of the agreement. It was binding. But they couldn't enjoy that portion. The Bible says, espoused, a virgin, espoused to a virgin. There's a lot of folks around here, dear friend, that don't believe that Mary was a virgin. A lot of folks, dear friend, push that Mary was the mother of God. I declare to you, there's not a scripture to be found that declares her the mother of God. She was the earthly mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never to be, never had been touched by a man. Espoused. A virgin. Espoused. Bible says here in verse 28, blessed art thou. You're highly favored. Verse 30, it says, thou hast found favor with God. You find where the Bible says she's blessed and she's been favored. This here this virgin girl, she's been blessed, she's been favored, she's been highly blessed, she's been chosen to do something, but nowhere in this portion of Scripture can you find, nor anywhere else can you find, that she has been set upon or placed upon a place to be worshipped. Matter of fact, it says here in verse 43, and whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord, this is Elizabeth talking, the mother of my Lord, should come to me. Not the mother of God. So this whole passage, dear friend, listen, has a lot to do with biology. A lot. You can get in there and study it. You can get in there and look at it and see how things are and how they should be, dear friend. But you find absolute truth that it was a virgin Mary that was presented there. The Holy Ghost of God would overshadow her. That which was born would be placed in her would be called the Son of God. What an amazing thing. The Bible says here in verse 31, 32, look at there. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall be great. Let me tell you, dear friend, this Jesus was the Bible's talking about, this birth proclamation, which the Bible said shall be great. Hey, he was not only great at birth, dear friend, he was great at creation.
Yes.
Bible says that it was him. Because of him, all things consist.
Yeah,
we're talking about a greatness here. He had a great pre-existence. The Bible declares, hey, without mother, without father.
Yes.
He had a great portion in living a sinless life. At birth. Had a great thing in him that he would go about to do good and to to heal the blind, the lame, the sick, those with leprosy. He raised the dead. You remember the story of Lazarus? Hey, he was great in his earthly ministry. Hey, he is great sitting at the right hand throne of God right now, and he's going to be great in his return to this earth. It's coming back. He's not only great in this situation, dear friend. We serve a great Jesus.
Amen.
And nothing is impossible with him.
You're right, Christian. Yeah.
kingdom, every kingship, every government, there has been a decisive end. Go back to the Roman Empire. Go back to the Grecian Empire. Go back to the rise of Germany. There's been an end. There's no big old end with His. For His throne shall be forever. See, I serve a Jesus who made a proclamation in the Word of God that said, I shall be great. I am great. I am shall be called the Son of God, of the highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of David forever. Verse 32, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. Mr. Friend, the Savior which we serve lives forevermore. You can't go to a tomb and find Him. You can't go to a manger and find Him. Dear friend, you want to find the Lord Jesus Christ. He's sitting at the right hand of God. He sent the Holy Ghost down here on this earth to save and to seek those which need salvation through Him and Him alone. What did He say there in verse 34? There's a confirmation here in verse 34 about this here being a virgin. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man. See, God always confirms it.
Yeah.
These things have I written unto you that you might know. God doesn't want us to walk around, dear friend, in blindness and ignorance. He's not. He wouldn't have us to wake up in the morning and not know how to serve Him. He wouldn't have us to walk around in this life not knowing how we can obtain eternal life. He's left us an absolute word. It's there for us to find. Jesus said, hey, search the Scriptures, for they are there which testify of me. It's there, dear friend. It's there. Verse 39. Mary rose in those days, went to the hill country with haste to a city of Judah. And entered to the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass, and when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Tell you something, dear friend. The Holy Ghost of God is still alive and able to move us and to direct us and to guide us and to teach us, and don't you let no religion, no denomination, no group scare us away from the leading of the Holy Ghost of God. Hey, His job is to lead us and to guide us and to direct us and to convict us. You don't fool around on that with something that is contrary to the Word of God. You want to get out there and chase some woman, listen to the Holy Ghost of God. Brings conviction into your heart that it's not, listen, it is God that brings that through the Holy Ghost and convicts you that, hey, what you're about to do is wrong. It's God. Let me tell you something. The wonderful leadership of the Holy Spirit of God should never be mistaken. Church, when we make a move in the ministry, we go to reach out to our community, we need the Holy Ghost of God. When Jesus went out into that wilderness, He's led of the Spirit. Let me tell you something. We need the power of God on us. We need to be full of the Holy Ghost. We need to be surrendered to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God that we might be able to, with haste, hear what it said in verse 39? Unto the hill country, with haste. We need to get busy. Hey, the time's at hand, dear friend. The harvest is ripe. There are people lost and dying and going to hell. And if we don't hastily get busy into the highways and the edges of the byways, there's a lot of folks that we know and don't know is going to spend eternity in a place called hell. Because they've never heard about the announcement of a new birth. A new birth from on high. See, this is a wonderful announcement. I'm here declaring to you that you can be born again if you're sitting here lost. In And you know, whenever you get born again, there's a great announcement that's made in heaven. The Bible says there's great joy when one sinner comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. Oh, the leadership. These verses speak plainly of some of the facts of life, as I already stated. But let me tell you something. It's one of the most beautiful stories that you can ever read. Because if there was no birth of Jesus, dear friend, there would be no cross of Calvary. And when he was born, he didn't stay in a manger. He came for one purpose and one purpose only, and that was to go to Golgotha. Bear the sins of mankind upon himself. The Father would look down, and it would please him. And it'd break his heart so much as he looked upon his Son. He'd turn his back, and Jesus would say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why was he forsaken? For your sake and my sake. And on the third day, the Bible says and declares that the power of God raised him from the dead. What does that mean? God didn't keep his back turned on Jesus. He turned right back around and received that precious atonement blood of Christ. And it was there. No more lambs to be slaughtered. No more turtle doves to be brought. Because Jesus himself was sacrificed for all. Truly an amazing story. The birth of Jesus proclaimed. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. The pianist is coming. Brother Jim's on his way. I know all the world this time of year is talking about Jesus and the birth of Jesus and Christmas and what gift can I get? What gift can I give? And where can I go shopping? And you know, who can I go shopping for? And all those are good things, dear friend. I'll tell you, if you lost this morning, don't know Jesus, your Savior. The free gift of God. Jesus Christ himself is here in his word, declares that whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. Won't you come this morning? We'll take the Bible and we'll show you how you can know that you have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not because our church, dear friend, not because some words I said, but because the Holy Spirit of God has convicted you that you need Jesus. Won't you come this morning? We'll take the Bible and show you how you can have eternal life. Be born from above.